Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 10th, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 158, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Stephanie L., Shelley E., and Laura R. The reference number for Sunday, January 9th, is 18,376, and the reference number for Monday, January 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 18,381. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tom L. to read the 12 steps.
Hey, this is Tom L. in Southern California. So glad to spend some time with you all. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. My pass.
Thank you, Tom. And I'll now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., grateful compulsive overeater in Oregon. Our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Excuse me. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to read. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. And I will be doing a gentle reminder and timing everyone. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 158, paragraph 3, and we're reading one paragraph only, and I will now ask Stephanie L. to begin the reading.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in Southern California. That afternoon, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man. He entered a political campaign, making speeches, frequenting men's gathering places of all sorts, often staying up all night. He lost the race by only a narrow margin, but he had found God, and in finding God, had found himself. And that last sentence is, well, I guess the first and the last sentence are really what strikes a chord with me this morning. He walked from the hospital a free man, and you know, that's what it was like for me. I didn't go to a hospital, but I did, my sponsor calls it a hospitalization period, where it's intensive work of getting through the steps. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, I wasn't sure that this was going to work for me, and it did. And I felt like I walked away. Well, I didn't walk away, but I felt like I was a free woman at last. Free of the obsession to compulsively overeat, free of the overwhelming desire on a daily basis that haunted me, that trapped me, you know. I was like the walking dead. And, you know, all glory for me goes to my higher power. It goes to God. God is the hero of my story because, you know, these steps helped me unblock the channel. They helped me find power that I didn't have, to build a relationship with power. And, you know, the closer that I have gotten to my higher power, who I call God, the closer I have come to finding myself. And it's a daily thing. And that's the amazing miracle of this program, is that, you know, many of us, I walk in here lost and broken and you know, a slave to this disease, and life is really, really bad. I was suicidal, and we work these steps. I work these steps, and I can be a contributing member of society, and that's what he talks about here. You know, he became a contributing member of society, and that's who I can be today. But I can never lose sight of the fact that, you know, this is done to me, not by me. And, you know, in finding God, I can finally live, oh gosh, such a different life. And I am forever grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for getting this going this morning. And before I take a lineup, I'd like to remind everyone that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share?
Freya H.
Elaine G.
Hi, this is Emily. I'd like to share.
Jennifer A.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have Freya H., Elaine G., Emily, and Jennifer A. Was there anyone else that wanted to be added to this, included in this lineup?
Diane B.
Jordan L.
Leslie M.
Great. Why don't we start with this lineup then? Go ahead, Freya H.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. Freya H., recovered compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Thank you for your service. And this paragraph, what really strikes me about it, I'm curious, like, why did they add all these details? How is this relevant? And the message that I get from it is that this man he failed at something. You know, he put lots of effort into it, obviously, staying up all night, but he didn't win. But that was irrelevant. And for me, you know, coming into recovery, I had to have my ideas about what was desirable, what was valuable, my ideas about success. They had to get turned upside down, you know, like that life, my idea of success being I get what I want and things work out and things go smoothly and I get acclaim and I get, you know, accolades. I had to let go of that as what I thought was going to make me happy. And that last line, they're saying it doesn't, you know, he had found God and in finding God had found himself, saying that that was actually the most important piece of it. So as I go through this life and life doesn't deliver what I want or what I think is supposed to happen to myself and to others, and, you know, really scary calamities happen in life, I need to trust that there is more to the picture and that the I don't know what's going on in other people's lives. I don't know how their struggles, challenges, failures are contributing to their, you know, their spiritual development, their finding themselves and finding, you know, finding some power greater than themselves. And I know for me, when things go my way, I'm a lot less motivated to seek out God. And so, you know, and this is brought out, you know, whenever I do a 10th step, whenever I'm, you know, faced with a conflict or a challenge or a struggle of some kind, that is what brings me closer to God because I'm open. You know, when things are going along, you know, swimming along my way, I'm kind of like, okay, God, I got this. Thanks. See you later. So it's just a powerful reminder for me to be open to whatever God puts in my life today, especially when I think, man, this is not what I wanted. How is this gonna be what God contribute to what God wants for me? So I don't know. I get to keep an open mind and just trust, and rely. So on my higher power. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Freya H. And now we have Elaine G.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine, the Costa Vorita. This last line is really gets to me. But he had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself. All I know is that before I came into this vision for you, I was slipping, sliding, totally compulsively overeating, and thought eating would solve everything. Except things got worse, you know, and it affected my health. But anyway, having to do with God, I mean, I'll just say the way it is, that I have like 3 days abstinence, which is a miracle, and I got this wonderful sponsor, and we read through the big book, and I believe we're on chapter one now, Phil's story. But anyway, reading through the big book, working the steps in the big book, sharing, and most of all, a night, when I'm in the middle of the night, when I get up, I got strategies now, but I close my bedroom door and I say, that's it. I'm not going out. My bedroom, I got the bathroom there, got a little water by my end table, and now instead of bringing a big glass of water, I bring a little and just sip it. This way I'm not up all night. And finally, last night, I had a decent night's sleep. And the times of day when I felt like eating, I just prayed to God. God, help me not to go in that kitchen. You know, help me just eat, to go through the guidelines of eating with my three meals a day, two snacks, you know. And just doing that and working the program, I'm staying abstinent. It's like a real miracle, real miracle. And I remember in the past when I had big book sponsors, I stayed abstinent too, you know. But this time it's going to really work this time because I don't have any desire to compulsively overeat. And when I do, I pray on it. It goes away. Each time I have a day of abstinence, it's like this disease doesn't call me as loud, you know. And I make a lot of phone calls to people. I work my tools and my steps. And all I know is that if I didn't have a higher power, I, you know, you have to have a higher power to identify with, to help you through the program. If you're not spiritually fit, you're not going to stay your abstinence. And thanks.
Thank you, Lane. Now we have Emily.
Hi, this is Emily L. from Seattle. Grateful to be here. And thanks for the reading and the share so far. And, you know, when the person who started us off said, reflecting on the part of the reading, he became a contributing member of society. I just sort of felt this calling in my heart that I had to speak up because I was not a contributing member of society when I came into OA. When I was in 2002, I was binging and purging many, many times a day. I'd failed out of school. I couldn't hold a job. I was such a sick young woman and just living in a room with bags of vomit, hadn't seen family in years. And, you know, one of the greatest gifts is that I am in the world today. And like, I'm excited about being in the world today. And I was actually just reflecting this week on how the great delusion of the disease is that if I look perfect, then I'll be loved and accepted and I'll fit in and I'll be part of. And that is such a delusion that I am loved and accepted and part of when I'm out of my disease and contributing to the greater world. And so, you know, instead of getting up in the morning and thinking about what diet I'm going to stick to today, how I'm going to lose all this weight, like I wake up thinking about how I'm going to, you know, how I can be a better teacher today, how I can be, what activities I can figure out to do with my kiddo who's on the spectrum. And, and it's a much deeper and more meaningful life. And it's really what I was seeking in the food. I just didn't know. I was seeking in the wrong place for how to feel part of. And it really is a gift to be able to contribute to the world because I really can't in any meaningful way when I'm binging and purging because I'm lost. I'm really lost. I'm disconnected. And one of the things that I've also had to find over the years is what is the appropriate way to give. It's not just sort of giving of myself until I'm depleted. So I'm also contributing member of society when I put my own oxygen mask on first. So wherever that balance is. But I get to navigate that now. And it's just, it's a pretty rich life. And I would not be here without this program. There's no doubt. I don't think I would be alive, honestly. I was having heart arrhythmias and vomiting blood. And anyways, I'm so grateful for this program and to be here and for you guys because, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Emily L. And Jennifer A. is up next.
Hey,
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer A. calling from, I guess you call it Northern California, Santa Clara, Silicon Valley. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. Thank you so much. I don't share that often because I don't feel, well, not that I don't feel, I just never get the nudge. And today I got the nudge for the line of, in finding God, we find ourselves. You know, I didn't go to a hospital myself, but what came back to me was that I had run into a friend, somebody I knew in the grocery store. You know, I was there one more time getting my groceries and seeing what kind of other little treats and things that I could put in my basket. And I ran into this woman and she told me about vision. And I have experience with the big book. And so I knew there was a solution. You know, I was so just in such a place where this compulsive overeating had a hold of me, but I didn't know how to undo it. I'd been to another OA meeting in the past, and it didn't work for me. But what I did take from that was they used the big book. And, you know, and God's helping me find myself, you know, I landed in Vision for You. And I'm so grateful for that because this journey, you know, I gave myself away to food. I gave myself away to people. I gave myself away to everything and not knowing it either, you know, just not knowing it and that my higher power loves me enough to guide me gently with those little breadcrumbs to come to a place where I can be in a solution. And, you know, working these steps in the big book and having a sponsor in OA has completely changed my life. I've been abstinent since August the 13th. And, you know, that obsession has been lifted. I've heard about it previously, never thought it could happen for me, but it did. And, you know, I continue with the journey of my higher power, finding myself, you know, coming to these meetings, you know, doing the work that is recommended, having a sponsor and working these steps out of this book. And, you know, I have me today and I continue to learn who I am. And I know that of myself, I am absolutely nothing without my higher power. And I'm so grateful because it's taking me away from dependence on the food. It's taking me away from dependence on other people and opinions and fears. You know, that 100 forms of fear we talk about in the big book. You know, that when I have my own life and I'm with my higher power, that I could just give those fears away. And, you know, today for me, I just, you know, food is just part of what I do in the day. The rest of it has... Thank you. And that's all I'll say is thank you so much for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer A. And next up is Diane B.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered compulsive eater in New York. And thank you, everyone, for your service. What struck me today also was that he left the hospital a free man. He had been freed from the obsession of the mind and the phenomenon of the craving, you know. And isn't that what being recovered is all about? Don't I want to be free? I want to be, you know, want to free up my mind, excuse me, to think about and focus on other things and other parts of my life rather than on the food. Where am I going to eat? When am I going to eat? How much am I going to eat? How often am I going to eat? You know, all those thoughts and also beating myself up for it at the same time. So my brain, my mind was completely cluttered. And today I'm really, really grateful that I have a higher power that I can think about. I can think about other people. I can think about other things in my life. And as long as I keep doing the work and I stay away from my trigger foods, which I don't have a craving for, I have to say I'm very grateful I do not have that craving right now. As long as I do that, I can stay recovered. And I think that, you know, the details don't matter. So, yes, he had a political campaign and he didn't win it, but the details don't matter. What matters in my thinking is that he went through all this without having to take a drink. So I can go through whatever my higher power brings me to, whatever goes on in my life, I can go through it without having to eat over it. You know, I'm not in the results business. My higher power is. I just do the footwork. So as long as I keep doing what I need to do, I keep things simple as much as I can, which is very difficult for me sometimes, I have to say that, I don't have to complicate these things. And so, as I said, my mind has been freed up, and I think that's really what it means to be a free man, and that's what it means to be recovered to me today. So thank you, everyone, and with that, I pass.
Thanks, Diane B., and Jordan L. is up next.
Hey, good morning. excuse me. My name's Jordan Now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be on the meeting this morning and abstinent with you all. It was definitely that last line that jumped out to me. He had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself. I did not want to find myself when I got here, right? When I, as a compulsive overeater, the only emotion that I ever seemed to feel was anger. And I walked around a very angry person for a pretty long time. I got sober in AA, prior to coming into Overeaters Anonymous, and walked in here with 8 years of sobriety, more angry than the day that I walked into AA, you know? it absolutely ruled my life, and it ruled my personality. And I didn't want to find myself. I didn't want to find God. I didn't want to find myself. But I walked in here and I heard other people talking about a recovered state. And it was enough for me to try out this surrender thing. It was what the gifts that they were talking about were enough for me to give this surrendering thing a shot. And so that's what I did. I surrendered to God or to a higher power. And the same kind of thing happened to me. At like a year and a half abstinent, I got a promotion. I got a raise. We moved to a new town. I started this new job. And then, you know, a year into that, it all came crashing down. and it's such a gift and a blessing that I can share about that today, I can laugh about that I can say that I stayed abstinent through all of that, and that I continue to seek the ways that I can be of service to this fellowship, that I don't have any anger over that, you know, like I can work through that stuff today and get to the other side of it. And still be excited about giving this away to someone else, about sharing this with other compulsive overeaters that we get to recover, you know? So anyway, thank you for letting me share that today. That's all I have.
Well, perfect timing, Jordan. Thank you. And before I take Leslie M., I would just like to let everyone know, in case you joined us after we began, we are reading today from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 158, the third paragraph that starts with that afternoon. So go ahead, Leslie M., and then I'll take my name.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service and everyone on Team Monday. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And, you know, the thing that this paragraph makes me think of, and especially this last sentence, but he had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself, is my favorite paragraph is on page 55 about, you know, inside every man, woman, and child, there is the idea of a higher power, you know, and I had always, that was why I ate. I covered up that goodness, let me say it, within myself. I thought that I was too damaged. I was too broken. I was not worthy. I didn't deserve this. And, you know, I have to share that recently, at the end of November, I had a break in my abstinence. And I immediately thought about not being honest about that, about lying about it. And I knew that I would go back into that horrible place that I had been before, that miserable place, the 28 years of Overeaters Anonymous before that, that I would go back into that place. And so I started telling on myself right away. And I needed to do that. And I have to say, the person that sponsored me through the steps said, yeah, I'll get you through in 3.5 weeks. And I didn't really believe that, but I am at the other side now again, and once again sponsoring. So just be able to give anyone hope out there that this does work. And that I, you know, that it was a powerful lesson that I needed to learn some things about, you know, that I am not in charge once again. And that's what this also reminds me of is, you know, there's a God and I am not it. I am not the judge and the jury. I am not the one that needs to, you know, that needs to tell anyone else that they're right and that I'm right and they're wrong. It's not my place. And, you know, so I'm grateful at this point for all my experiences and just grateful to be able to go through the things that are presented to me in life today. That's what being a free person says to me, is that, you know, the food doesn't call to me, number one, but that I, you know, I can find all my solace in God, in my higher power. And I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Leslie, for sharing. And before I take a new lineup, take a few more names, I'd like to just remind you that if you've shared in the past 2 days, to please gently pass today and let others share. So we'd love to hear from you, especially if you've never shared before. So go ahead and give me your name. I'll take a few.
Chris W.
I heard Chris W., and then there was someone R.
Laura.
Laura, thanks, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Deborah G.
Deborah G. Couple more?
Mo H.
Mo, hi, Mo. And how about one more? Hi. I think we'll have a chance for one more after that. Okay, well, let's start here. And go ahead, Chris. You're up.
Chris W. from Tennessee, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And when the part about saying that he found himself, I thought, oh my gosh, how interesting that this is the reading, because I've just been saying to people lately that I finally feel like I can be who I really am. And working through the steps, I did them all like 3 times this year. Because I kept, I wouldn't put the food down, so I'd have to start all over again and again. And I'm totally grateful for that, because I do believe it's true that we learn more from our failures than our successes. And because when things are going right, I just take it for granted. But when I finally could see that my way really wasn't working, and somewhere I must have had a spiritual awakening, because I totally feel different. I'm happy to be recovered. I'm happy to have the food put down. I'm happy that I'm not being obsessed with these thoughts of getting in my car, running to the fast food place to get the junk food that I used to like, because the second I do that, it's crazy. I can't stop. And for so long, I just didn't want to be a compulsive overeater. And I didn't mind walking into the doors of AA 40 years ago and saying I'm an alcoholic, because I quit drinking, and I quit drinking from the first meeting. But that hasn't been the case with the food. I've been in and out for 40 years, and mostly out, but never ever recovered. And I'm just grateful. Thank you all for being here. I pass.
Thanks, Chris W. And Laura R. is up next.
Did you call Laura R.? Sorry, I was unmuting.
I sure did. Yes, I did. Go
okay.
ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Sherry. Awesome. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Great to be on the line. Such an awesome paragraph. He is a free man. First of all, I just want to thank everyone, seriously, every fellow that speaks on the line, fellows that I make outreach calls to, fellows that call me, sponsors that have carried the message to me. Honestly, it starts there, you know, one alcoholic talking to another to carry this message of hope, that there is a solution in these rooms, that there is a solution in the book. You know, I heard the book is the treasure map that gets us to the treasure, which is God. And I have found God through these steps. But it started with one alcoholic talking to another. And I was just thinking of sponsorship and how lucky we are, and also outreach, you know, just to people that are there when I call and I'm in desperate need or need to do a 10 step, and they help me get out of the muck, the mire, the pit, of what self-pity, fear, whatever it may be. I'm just so grateful for the solution that we find here, and the, you know, going through the process this last time, the 6th, 7th step, really seeing my character defects and coming up with an action plan to change the way I've shown up. You know, and thinking about this gentleman, he talks a couple paragraphs before that he feels like he's nothing. I am nothing. I once was something, but I am nothing. And that's who I thought I was. I was nothing. You know, and I'm still working on trying to feel like I am something with God. Trying to get rid of daily that, you know, when it says when these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So I have to be vigilant to be aware of when dishonesty or resentments, fears, all those things crop up, because it tries to tell me that I am nothing. I'm not good enough. I am weak. I am whatever. With God, though, it says that I am everything. It's with God, all things are possible. And I love that the first thing we do in the 10th step is that we ask God at once. You know, we ask God at once. I go straight to God, because that's the solution. And I love that it says at the end he found God. And in that, he found himself. And slowly but surely, yesterday, I even had a conversation with my sponsor who helped me remember that I am something, you know, that I'm, that all that, those lies that I've been telling myself, that's not true. And that's why I keep coming back, because I'm never going to be, you know, cured. I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body when it comes to food. I'm neutral. But I will always be spiritually recovering. And that's why I keep coming back. If you're new, just stay. It works. It really does. And we're all here to help you. My hand's out, you know, to you, and so many others are as well. We're glad to have you. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that I have another day of abstinence today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And Deborah G is up next.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G, compulsive overeater from Arizona. And thank you again, Sherry, for being of service and everyone being of service and making this meeting possible. And what came up for me was my sponsor shared, my problem is not the food, it's my self-centeredness. And my ego is my false self. And the ego tries to separate me from my true self of God. My job is to thrive in love, in loving presence, God, which is my true self. Ego mind pulls us to be self-centered, fearful, judgmental, resentful. Ego identifies with something like, I'm better than, I'm perfect, I do no wrong, I've got it together. My true self, there's no labels. We just know anytime a label, that's ego. And I'm so grateful for those beautiful steps, going through them and seeing, having the awareness that that's what's going on, and continually wanting to be. That's my most important thing to do, is stay connected to God. And my sponsor keeps reminding me, stay connected to God. And when this stuff crops up, is, you know, taking that to a 10 step and getting back in alignment and connected with God again, and living my true self. I'm just so grateful today that I know my true self, and I love my true self, and that everything else is that self-centeredness. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. And now we have Mo H.
Good morning. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. And I've not been on the line for quite a few months. The line that got me going today, I've been wanting to come back, but my ego keeps getting in the way. But that he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man, and I feel like I'm slowly putting on my clothes and walking out of my grief. I have been in terrible depression and grief for like 6 months. I had a break in June, and my therapist feels that I needed that so that I would start to feel my grief, because the first year I spent running, hiding, avoiding the grief by keeping busy. And when year two hit after my husband of 53 years passed, I really started to feel the grief. Luckily, I have was back on right away after a few days of just taking food that wasn't mine. And I've been weighing and measuring ever since, and been working with a sponsor who also understands grief, and been working the 12 steps around it. And so I've been being nudged by some of you to come back. I haven't wanted to, but I know I need this. I hear what all of you have to say, and it's always very supportive and helpful. And knowing that I walk hand in hand with God, I can't do this life alone. Even though I am alone right now, I'm feeling sad about that, but I do have God as my guide every day, every moment of the day. And I just wanted to say hi to all of you, and thanks for being there.
Oh, it's so good to hear you this morning, Mo. Thank you for sharing. And we have time for two more shares. So who would like to share?
Hi, my name is Babylon. I'll share. Hello?
Okay, yes. I wrote your name.
Oh, sorry.
I was seeing if there was someone else that would also like to share. Anyone who hasn't shared in the past 2 days. Okay, why don't you go ahead, Babylonia?
Okay. Well, I am 26 days abstinent, or 27, I think, and I feel so blissful. Like, there's been ups and downs, but, like, one day I woke up feeling really miserable, restless, irritable, discontent, and I didn't want to go to the gym, and I normally in the past would have cried out to God and said, save me, God, and, like, depended on him to, like, get me out of the situation, but because of the program, I decided to take the next right step. So I went to the gym, and then I went to the pharmacy and got my antidepressant and started retaking it. And that whole day changed around. And ever since then, I've been so happy because I started taking my antidepressant, and it changed my life. Like, I feel so happy all the time. I have so much energy. I'm positive. And it was because of the program, like, because of taking the next right step, because my the nature of my relationship with God changed, like, because I took responsibility and didn't expect him to just reach down and do the actions for me. So I'm really grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing this morning, Babylonia. Is there someone else that would like to share today before we close the meeting? Maybe someone who hasn't shared before who would like
this
to
share. This is Elaine S. in Tennessee.
Hi,
may I share?
This is Megan Quinn.
Okay, Elaine S. and I heard a Megan. I think we might have time for both. Go ahead, Elaine.
Hi, my name is Elaine S. I'm a food addict in Nashville, Tennessee. As I look at this reading from the big book, that line about him walking out of the hospital a free man, when I came into my first meeting, I definitely was not a free woman. I was enslaved to food. I ate when I didn't want to eat. I couldn't stop. Even though I was praying and asking for help, I couldn't stop. And with the truth that I heard in the rooms, I was able to see that I had an addiction and there was a way out. So I just wanted to share that. Perhaps there's a newcomer today that the word God may be scary to them. I learned I had to set aside what didn't make sense and identify where I could identify. And I knew that the people in the rooms ate like I did, but the difference was they weren't still eating. So I kept coming back so I could hear the truth. And by coming back, that opened the door to recovery. Thanks for letting me share it today. I pass.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Elaine. We appreciate you sharing. And next up is Megan. I think I heard that right.
Ever compulsive eater, and this is the first time I've ever called in. I was inspired because of the line of he walked away from the hospital as a free man. And this morning I was doing my gratitude and I was thanking God. Thank you, God, for keeping me abstinent and letting me be a free woman. And when I first got in here, I was waking up every morning and I wanted to die. You know, I had been clean and sober in a different program for years, and the feeling of like desperateness and hopelessness over the food was consuming my life. And I would wake up and I would just think like, oh, I hated myself so much for what I'd done the night before. And then I would think like, I'm not going to do it again today. And I would do it and I would do it over and over and over. And when I came into Visions and I heard about total abstinence, and I heard that we could work a program of recovery using the steps that they use in Alcoholics Anonymous and that there was a solution, I believed them, and I got taken through the steps, and today I am a free woman around food, and I never in my life thought that that could ever, ever happen. So I'm just so eternally grateful for what this meeting here has done for me and what the steps have done for me. And, yeah, I just wanted to share. Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's nice to hear your voice on the line today, Megan. Thank you. Would anybody like to close us out with a 1 or 2 minute share? Go ahead and jump in if you want to share and say hi. I'll give it a minute.
Joanne B.
Okay, Joanne, you have a minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Joanne B. from Texas and recovered. And I say recovered, but you know, I know that every morning I wake up a pumpkin again because, and I have to do it all over again. But what this, listening to all of you and, you know, I think how I want my recovery to grow and to be more. And in some areas, I'm maybe a free woman, but in other areas, maybe I'm not. And it's what's really been sticking out to me the last several weeks for myself is that I may have put the food down and I may have neutrality, but now I'm learning how to work these principles in all my affairs. I don't know how to say any of this, but I just wanted to process, I suppose. But in my neutrality, Well, anyway, I just thank you so much for talking and sharing, all of you and your service, and I hope that you have a blessed day. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Joanne, for closing us out today, and thank everyone for a powerful meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning, Sherry. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do this service, and I pass.